and friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. Delighted I am always to have as my guest Kieran O'Reilly and Charlotte Moore, the co-founders and co-directors of the Irish Repertory Theatres, or theatre, I should say. But anyway, theatres isn't that bad either. Because you have a couple of plays, generally, that are working in both theatres there at the Irish Rep. First of all, you're very welcome.
Great to be here, Adrian.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you very much.
And I found out, actually, having been bowing and scraping to both of you, for years, because you were recipients of the Presidential Distinguished Service Award from the President of Ireland, Michael D. Higgins, and I noticed that you had an attitude, about the honor.
Hold on a second. Why would you be bringing this up now? I mean, is there any reason at all?
I think there's a good reason today, because my award has gone off the boil, and as such, it's always good for a week, that's it. But it is...
Congratulations to you, Adrian. We were absolutely thrilled to hear the news that you got, and all of us thought no better man, and no one in the city of New York or the country of the United States that deserves it more than yourself. So
okay.
Well done.
Keep going. Go on. Keep going. Thank you. And again, I can return the compliments, since both of you got the award. How long ago was that now?
2019. It was such a momentous event that it just closed down the world for nearly 2 years afterwards. People were sort of recovering from it.
I don't think we mentioned that Anya Sheridan shared that distinguished award with you. I'd like to get her name in here.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's fine. You made my life so much easier with that. Yeah. Listen, a great Christmas show, and we look forward each year to the Christmas program at the Irish Repertory Theatre. And tell us about this particular performance that is taking place right now. And it's going to run through when?
January 30th. It goes through. So we have it's in previews now. It opens officially on Tuesday night coming up. And then it will run through the holidays and through January.
That is fantastic.
And Adrian, I have to tell you, I'm scared to death. I did this 20 years ago, The Streets of New York, written by Dion Boucicault. And it was a lovely hit then, but these are different times. And I hope people will come and see it. We're all vaccinated. Our theater is safe, and we look forward to having the crowds come back and having a joyous time here at the Irish Rep with us.
Yeah, I'd also like to note that the Irish Rep was the first off-Broadway theater to open and to welcome, in-person audience. And that's terrific, and this is great. And yes, I think we all have perhaps a little hesitancy in saying, what are the rules this week compared to last week? But we can say now that it is not only safe, but it is well monitored, their theatres. in New York City are very well monitored and on a daily basis to make sure that everything is up to scratch. And that's also good. And it's there. Charlotte, I want to, since you're, this is your play, I don't know what the other fellow there is going to be doing between now and the end of January, but word is that the Cavan Chronicle, is saying that he's going to be hanging out in Cavan. But tell us about this performance and, the street of New York. This guy, Dion Boucicault, he was around for a good while. Where and when was he born and raised and bred and buttered?
He was born in London, into a theatrical family, and he took great pride. His mother and his Irish, especially Irish roots.
Yeah.
And it plays in Dublin and in London and most of all in New York. And I think the pride of his whole life was his production of The Streets of New York. Now, he went on to do Streets of London and The Streets of Dublin, but he always preferred The Streets of New York because that was his first. And he was quite a scandalous guy. At the age of 64 and 8 children later, he declared that his first wife was really not his first wife and married a 20-year-old from Australia and stayed over there for a couple of years with her. And it was a great scandal, both, as you can imagine, in London and Dublin. But he enjoyed that, and he lived to a ripe old age, and he's buried here in the United States of America, thank you.
Where is he buried?
In Woodlawn Cemetery.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
He was has often been credited with what actually creating Broadway, because he put so many things into play during his time. He owned like 3 or 4 Broadway theaters.
Oh.
He was an actor. He was an actor manager. He was the first one to actually create the royalty system where playwrights, got paid if somebody else used their play. Up to that time, once you wrote a play, anybody could just go and do it. And it became like public domain, And he created that. And so many other things. He created the matinee. He was the first person to ever actually do a matinee in theater because he thought there might be an audience of
a little old lady.
He fancied himself a matinee idol and actually created the term in as well as the shows. He was brilliant. Yeah.
And Adrian, he had live horses running across the stage, and he also built a whole railroad track across the stage and put a whole railroad train on it. He was an innovator, and he had more nerve than anybody.
He loved fires as well, Adrian. He loved actually having live fires on the stage as special effects, so much so that he actually burnt down his theater. and one of the things that he created, and it's something that's still today in every Broadway house, is the thing called the safety curtain. And the safety curtain is kind of, probably once upon a time was made from asbestos. So your former partner, like John Deary, would have made a fortune. Things from that. But it is still there today, and it protects the audience from pyrotechnics that happen on the stage.
Yes, well, live fires, Adrian. And he also created the fire door, which is a door from the audience to backstage. It's a heavy door. It's metal. You can't get through it. It's now used to protect big stars that have dressing rooms backstage. But back then, it was used for fire, as a fire door. You couldn't get through it if the theater was burning down, which in Boucicault's case, as Kieran says, it did burn down.
Wow. Now, what's the story and where does it begin?
Off the streets of New York?
Yes.
The streets of New York begins in 1837, where there's a panic on, where the banks are about to fail. And there's a banker who's the lead character of the show is a guy called Gideon Bloodgood. And he's the banker who's about to, and I'm not giving it away because it happened in the first few seconds, he's about to abscond with all the people's money and take off for England because his bank is about to fail. When suddenly something happens, somebody arrives in with a ton of money and some dastardly deed happens and he is saved. And he goes on to prosper, and then that's the prologue of the show. And then the main part of the rest of the show happens in 1857, where, yeah, guess what, Adrian, guess what? There's another bank failure. It happens, you know, every once in a while. And that's where we meet Gideon Bloodgood again, and a lot of the characters, both of different classes, who live currently on the streets of New York. And Charlotte Moore took this play of Dion Boucicault's, wrote the music and wrote many songs and adapted the story to her own vision of it, and has done a fantastic job, even though I am, even though she's a gun to my head and making me say all this.
Yeah.
Yes, no better man. Kieran O'Reilly was in the original version. And I'm still thinking and looking at that performance as the standard brilliant performance of my career.
Oh, it was the gold standard. Yes, the gold standard.
And would it be any harm to ask you, Charlotte, why did you drop them 20 years later?
It's a very good question, Adrian, and it's a very hurtful one.
Far be it from me to stir the pot, because, you know, that's,
no, it seems like you were trying to wound me.
I'm missing Kieran's tap dancing singing in this.
Oh,
party.
My God.
She's wounding me even more.
Yeah.
You know,
What happens now?
After you suddenly get this big award in Ireland, now you feel free to go and make fun of the little people now. I know this. Yeah.
Yeah. No, tell her honorees.
I'm going to put you two in a ring somewhere.
Listen. Yeah, fellow honorees are a vanishing breed, you know, and I want to read some of the reviews, and they're all flying in, they really are. And it says, Ms. Moore's direction is intelligent, clever, and sure. It's a solid, charmingly retrograde production, and that's in the New York Times, and they're not... they don't throw out compliments that easily. But it is obviously, it is something very, very well worth experiencing. Now, tell me again, Charlotte, the adaption of songs. Would those who some 20 years ago be able to absorb the changes, which you're always making anyway? Are there new songs, could you give us an overview?
Well, we seem to drift, I'll say, or plunge towards this play when there are times of crises in the city and times when we all want to stick together. And also times, Adrian, when we want a bit of joy in our life, for goodness sake, and songs, and I hope they're nice songs, and I hope there are a couple of good melodies in there. I certainly enjoy putting on something so personal to Kieran and me that we've done in the past that had such a lovely effect on audiences and everybody. I can't wait for you and Anya to see it again. I don't know whether you saw it the last time, did you?
Well, Adrian, just go back on what Charlotte is saying there, is that it, when we did it the last time, it was 2001, and it was in the months following, you know, the events of 9/11.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was a place where the city was at odds with each other, and and fearful, and just living in the wake of that. And here we are now, 20 years later, and we're living in the wake, or trying to wake up from the nightmare of the last 2 years. And it's really interesting that the play itself is like 1837. To 18, and then it changed to 1857, 20 years later, and the same thing is, a cycle is happening. So there's certainly something about cyclical about living around New York.
Wow.
Ever growing and ever changing, and yet the same.
Listen, I want to talk about Charlotte and also the fact that not only are you a composer and an arranger, but you're also a musician of great note. Can you bring us back to your first interest in music, and did you start out as a piano player? What was your instrument? What was your first instrument, Charlotte?
Adrian, I've played the piano when I was 5 years old. I had piano lessons when I was 5 years old. I never got very good at it. I can play the piano now, but you wouldn't want to go to a concert where I was playing on the stage. You wouldn't want to be listening to it either. But I can play well enough to write a few songs. Now, let me tell you, the songs are not difficult. They are of the period. They are almost 19th century songs. They are about deep feeling and love for your partner and your opposite and your family. It's a family, very very much a family show. And they're pretty tunes, but they are not complicated. They are not Bach and Mozart.
Yeah.
They are Charlotte Moore songs, and they are very recognizable and singable. I've done a couple of Broadway musicals, and I have some friends who have written extensively for Broadway, and I kind of know these songs, and I wrote them for people who are not particularly soprano talented, although my guys certainly are. But you, when you leave the theater, Adrian, you're a musician. I think you'll be singing a few of them. And that's where they come from, my heart. They are from my heart, Adrian.
Will we recognize, I know we're going back, to story from 1837, but would we recognize any of the songs, any of the tunes? Are they part of archives from way back?
No, sir. They are right from my little head. I wrote them from scratch, every one of them. I think there are 10 or 12 songs. I really don't know the number.
Yeah.
But no, I wrote them at my own piano and from my own self. They are from right straight from me, nobody else.
Oh, my goodness. That's good. I'm just seeing another review that came in from the New York Post. A breathless melodrama with sweetly swelling songs. That doesn't sound like Kieran.
Did Kieran O'Reilly write that?
These are the reviews, Adrian, from 2001 you're quoting, right?
Is it? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, we pride ourselves here in keeping up to date, you know.
Yeah.
Adrian, I'm very glad to hear those reviews.
Absolutely.
I hadn't seen those in 20 years.
Oh, my
Thank
God.
You.
Yeah, and how about a gleaming musical theater jewel? That's from Theater Mania. Now, so are you going to measure up this time? Or do you want
to, Adrian? I'll get you for that question.
No, you know what I would suggest until we get to see the streets of New York. I'm going to use the reviews from 20 years ago because you
good. Know. Good, fine.
The wee day as well.
My day as well, Adrian. I'm glad you brought it up.
Now. You have, we haven't missed many grand openings of any of the, or all of the plays in the Irish Rep. How are the audiences different, or do you have the compulsive theatre goers, are they the first in the door, or do you notice, a different or an additional audience at this point?
We have the avid theater goers are coming back, and what we're hearing from them is just the absolute joy of returning to have a communal experience, you know, with people. And because, these are people who have been watching theater and stuff that we've been doing over the last 2 years on a tiny little screen, you know, off their computers. And now they at least to come back and they see it. So anything that we hear from them is just, yay. Thank God we're back. And you put up with an awful lot of things living in New York. You know, it's not an easy city to live in. It's a, so many people, so many things. You put up with it because it is the theatrical capital of the world, these are the perks. And when such things like that were shut down, man, that was taking a lot of the reasons for putting up with all the other things you have to put up with to live in this city, for music and theater and art and all of those things. If they go away, you don't have, I don't know why anybody would want to be around New York, that's just the fact. And that's, thank goodness that, a lot of the government, did see its value and needed to make sure that it didn't go and die, during the time. So, we're very much indebted to Chuck Schumer, for helping us through things and for the help that we got, during it, or else we wouldn't be opening today.
And that doesn't translate to a lot of theatre in New York that in fact with just weren't able to meet the budget. Let me ask you about the plus and minus of the virtual theatre for some would say, my God, this is great stuff, because we didn't get to. We're out in the middle of no place. It would take us an overnight to get to New York. What was the reaction from, through the virtual presentations on that small screen that you were talking about there, Kieran?
Well, it was certainly, it widened our reach in a huge way. Mm-hmm. During that time, not just from, it was called accessibility and allowing, for people who could not get to the theater, we brought the theater to them. And it was, and people were not able to, get to us because they were on lockdown, but a lot of people are on lockdown all their lives, and they're not able to, for health reasons or geographical reasons, they're not able to go and see, live theater from New York. And here we are, sending them a link that they could go on and that they could sit down and watch it. And it was huge, Adrian, and it was well received. We did it for free, during the pandemic, and we gave it to, so anybody who didn't have any money could still watch it. But we asked for donations, from them, and we suggested donations of like $25 at the time. And it was one of the most heart-rending things that happened when we would get these small donations that came in. You know, we felt like Obama, you know, getting the small little donations, you know, from people. But a lot of them, I mean thousands of them, of people writing in and sending like $5 and $10 and things like that, which was really, really, really wonderful.
And that does make a difference in the sense that it not only is it the financial assistance, but it also shows you the interest in theater, and the Irish Rep indeed has just grown over 33 years. I remember now, I was a young fellow 33 years ago, and Kieran, you've aged quite a bit. Charlotte, we're holding our own. But I want to ask you.
Oh, I know, Adrian. Yeah. It absolutely ages us. I know we went on the air. You were very generous in promoting us in those early years, and in between the talks, you'd be taking out an LP, you know, and putting it onto the thing.
That's right.
And now people, or maybe it was a 78 record.
It was 78. I didn't like the
45.
The 45 was that was a bit rough. But of course, I want to again congratulate both of you. It is something, it's the holiday season, Christmas is here, and we expect each year that the Irish Repertory Theatre will give us a musical through the season. And this one, can you just rattle off, do we know any of the actors and our, let's just say I would know them, but would Anya know any of them? You know,
this cast is new, Adrian, to the Irish Rep. They are musical theater stars and young people and mixed race cast and a really talented group of people who have not worked at the Irish Rep before. We are welcoming them into our midst and in our company. They are sharing our food and our goodies and our Christmas trees and our decorations and our parties, and we're having a great time with a whole new 12-person cast of stars. With a lot of people who did the original with us before. The choreographer did it. The musical director did it with us. And the costume lady did it with us. Our lighting guy and Hugh Landwehr, who designed our magnificent set, designed the original in 20 years ago. I'm so delighted with the group we have.
You know,
you will be too.
I absolutely. Seating starting at $50, which is a bargain these days. And standard seating, $70. Very, very well worth a trip, and particularly for those who are coming into New York because it's Christmas and because it's a very festive time of the year. I want again, just congratulate you on it. And yes, we want to see it. We want to see it ourselves. Unfortunately, we will not be able to attend the opening because we have to go back to Ireland. Would you believe, the lovely box that the presentation comes in, the velvet box?
I think Anya
left it at the airport, or something. I don't know. But we have to go back and check it out anyway.
Excuses.
It's the Irish Rep, again, located 132 West 22nd Street in the heart of Chelsea, New York. Box office is 212, number 212-727-2737. The website, irishrep.org. Happy Christmas, happy holiday season to both of you.
Thank you so much, Adrian. Thank you. Happy Christmas to you and Anya, and we'll see you around the holidays.
Absolutely.
Love you both.
Thank you again. That's great. Okay, and friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, and my guest Charlotte Moore and Kieran O'Reilly, and the play, the season, through the season is The Streets of New York, December 4th through January 30th. Well worth seeing. IrishRep.org, and fancy listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, The Flannelly Show, live from New York.